Okay. So let's get started here. So we are on Chaf Amud Aleph. We're about in the middle of the page on the 20th line. So the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, Machzeles shel Shifa vishel Gemi, Gedola misakhin ba, Ketana in misakhin ba, shel Kanim vishel Chilas, Gedola misakhin ba, Aruga in misakhin ba, Rabbi Yishma, Rabbi Yossi, Omer Misham Aviv, Achazo vi Achazo misakhin ba, Vechena Rabbi Dosa, Omer Kedvarav. Gemara presents the following machlokas. If I have, again, we're talking about what types of mats are valid for schach. So if I have a mat that's made out of either papyrus or bulrushes, different types of materials, if they're large, I can use them. Again, we spoke a lot about this idea yesterday, that the large mats were meant for schach typically, and the smaller ones for lying on. So those were puzzle because they were makabel tuma. So the large papyrus and bulrush mats are good for schach, the small ones are not. If they're made out of either reeds or chelas, are plated reeds, reeds that you like are tied in a certain manner. So if they're large mats, then they're okay. But if they're woven together, then that's like a kli, and that's a problem. But according to Rabbi Yishma, Rabbi Yossi, in the name of his father, and according to Rabbi Dosa, they say that all of these mats are valid for schach. So the Gemara now explains. Tanan Hasam Mishnah in the Seches Edios. Kolach Utsalos Metamin Tmei Meis Divir Rabbi Dosa Vachachamim Omer Medris. The Mishnah presents a machlokas regarding the status of what are called chotzalos. We'll see in a second that there's a machlokas what exactly chotzalos are, so we'll leave it untranslated for now. So according to Rabbi Dosa, these chotzalos are mekabel tumas meis. In other words, if they touch either a dead body or a person who touched a dead body, then these chotzalos will become tamei. According to the Chachamim, they're tamei with what's called tumas medris. Tumas medris literally means when you tread on something, but it's typically a term that we use to refer to something when a zav or a zava or a nida either sits on a chair or lies on a bed, those types of things, that's referred to as tumas medris. So the Gemara asks, medris in tmei meis lo, v'ha anantanan kol ha-metame medris metame tmei meis. How can the Mishnah in Edio say, or how can the Chachamim say, that these chotzalos are only makabel tumas medris? The Mishnah in Nida tells us that anything which is makabel tumas medris, by definition, is also metame tumas meis. So the Gemara says, you're right, ema af medris. The Chachamim never meant to disagree with Rabbi Dosa. They also agree that these chotzalos can become tamei with tumas meis, but they also say that in addition to that, it can become tamei with tumas medris. So now the question, of course, is my chotzalos. What are these chotzalos in the Mishnah in Edios? So it's a machlokas. Amar Rav Avdimi Bar Hamduri Marzuble. Marzuble. Amar Rabbi Abba Mizable. So one shot is that these large leather sacks that were used by shepherds to store food in for the animals, and sometimes they would use it to, you know, to put their heads down to rest in the middle of the day. That's one shot. Then the Gemara says, Reb Shimon ben Lakish Omer, Machzalos Mamish. Reish Lakish says, no, they're literal mats. They're like these reed mats that we were alluding to earlier. Va'azda Reish Lakish Latame, the Amar Reish Lakish, Harini Kaparas Rabbi Chia Uvanav, Shebetchila Kishenishtakha Torah Mi'Israel, Allah Ezra Mi'Bava Viyasta, Chazra Vinishtakha Allah Hil Habavli Viyasta, Chazra Vinishtakha Alu Rabbi Chia Uvanav Viyastua, the Chenom Rabbi Chia Uvanav, Lo Nechluku Rabbi Dosa Vachachamim, Amachatolos Shal Usha, Shehin Tameos, Michelle Tveria Shehin Tahoros, Amanach Lakal Shar Makomos, Mar Savar came in the lake of the Yosef Alayu Kid Tveria Damian, Umar Savar came in the Mikri Vyasi Alayu Kid Usha Damian. So basically, this is like the answer itself is a pretty straightforward answer, but the Gemara gives you a lot of background before it gives you the answer. Basically, Reish Lakish quotes this idea regarding the stature of Rabbi Chia and his sons. The Gemara says that initially when Ezra came up to build Bayashani, when he came up from Bavel, so he built the Beis HaMikdash, and eventually the Torah was forgotten. Then eventually Hil HaBavli came and reminded Klai Yisrael the Torah, and then it was forgotten again. And then eventually Rabbi Chia and his sons were the ones who reminded and who retaught all the Torah that had been forgotten. The point of mentioning this is that Reish Lakish is citing a statement in the name of Rabbi Chia and his sons, because again, he's highlighting their stature. That point is really just kind of tangential. But again, the bottom line is that the Gemara quotes in the name of Rabbi Chia and his sons, that this machlokas that we just quoted between Rabbi Dosa and the Chachamim about whether reed mats are only metame tumas meis, or they're even metame tumas medris. So the Gemara clarifies that machlokas. And when it comes to the mats that come from Usha, so everyone agrees those mats are makabel tuma. Why? Because the mats in Usha were always used for lying, for sitting, for resting. And on the other hand, the mats that come from Tveria were never used for those purposes. So everyone agrees that they're valid for schach, that they're not makabel tuma. The machlokas is, what about mats that come from other places? So the question is, are they more comparable to the mats from Tveria, or more comparable to the mats from Usha? So on the one hand, you can argue that since no one really sits on mats, perhaps they're not makabel tuma. On the other hand, you could say, no, maybe people sit on these mats once in a while, perhaps they are makabel tuma. So that was the machlokas between Rabbi Dosa and the Chachamim regarding whether mats from places other than Usha and Tveria are makabel tuma. Okay,
Rabbi, yeah. Wouldn't it depend on what they thought that Matt was going to...
Yeah, so... Kila? Right, so that was the issue, is that in these other places, apparently there was no specific kavana. It was and everywhere outside of Usha and Tveria, it was just kind of a free-for-all. So that's exactly the machlokas. The machlokas is, you know, to which city should we compare these maps, more like Tveria or more like Usha? Okay, Lingamar says, Omar Mar, kol acholtolos metamin temeimeis divir Rabbi Dosa, v'hasanya v'chein haya Rabbi Dosa omer kidvarak. How can you say that according to Rabbi Dosa, these mats or these leather sacks, again, depending on how you translate that word in the Mishnah and Idios, are metame tumas meis? Didn't we just say earlier in the Gemara that Rabbi Dosa agrees with, right? In other words, that was how we started this Gemara. We said, v'chein haya Rabbi Dosa omer kidvarak, that all types of reed mats, all types of these mats are valid for schach, implying that they're obviously not metame tumas meis. Otherwise, they wouldn't be valid. So the Gemara says, no, lo kashi, ha de isle gedanfa, ha de isle gedanfa. It depends if the reed mats have an upturned edge on the side. If there's an upturned edge, then the mat has a base kibul, it has a receptacle. If it has a receptacle, then of course it's makabel tuma. It's only when it's a flat slab of reeds or wood, as we know, pshute kliates, right, when you have a flat slab of wood that doesn't have any receptacle, then it's not makabel tuma. Then the Gemara asks, meisvei, chotzolos, shal sha'am, vishal gemi, vishal sak, vishal sfira, mitami, tamemes, divi rabbi do. So the Braisa tells us that if you have these mats that are made out of either, again, papyrus, bulrushes, sackcloth, or horsehair, so according to Rabbi Dosa, they're metame tumas meis. According to the Chachamim, as we mentioned earlier, they're even metame tumas medris. So the Gemara clarifies. Vishlam alamanda amar mar zuble, shal sham, vishal gemi chazu lekinta de pere, shal sak, vishal sfira chazu legulke vitsani. So according to the first interpretation we gave, that Chotzalos referred to these large leather sacks used by shepherds, so the Braisa makes a lot of sense. The leather sacks made out of, you know, papyrus and bulrushes, those could be used as fruit baskets. And the ones made out of sackcloth and horsehair could be used as these little small baskets for legumes and for smaller fruit. But according to Reish Lakish, that the Mishnah meant literal mats. So bishlam shel sack shel sfira chazu leparsei v'navasa elo shel sham shel gemi lemay chazu. So in other words, I understand the mats made out of sackcloth and horsehair, those could be used for screens and for flour sifters. But what are the other ones of papyrus and bulrushes going to be used for? So the Gemara says chazu lenaz yasa, they can be used as a covering for your vat of beer, of ale, of alcoholic beverages. It could be used to cover your vat of ale. Then the Gemara has another version, which basically comes to the same conclusion, but just from the opposite perspective. Ika da amre bishlam leman damer machatzolos mamish shol sham vishol gemi chazul inaz yasa shol sak vishol sfira chazul parsei v'navasa ela leman damer marzublei bishlam shol sak vishol sfira chazul gulke vitzane ela shol sham vishol gemi lemay chazul kinto de peri. So it's at the end of this version, it's the exact same conclusion. It's just that the Gemara said that in this version, the second interpretation was the obvious one, the one that said that the mats were, that the machtzolos were mats and not the leather sacks. But at the end of the Gemara, both versions agreed to everything that we just said. Okay, then the Gemara says, Tanya, Amar Rabbi Chananya, kishiyaradi lagola, matzasi zaki nachad, v'amar li, misakchin bevudya. So Rabbi Chananya said that when he went to Bavel, when he went to Gullus, he found this elderly person who told him that you're allowed to use these reed mats as chach, uchishabasi etzo Rabbi Yoshua achiyaba, hodul advar, when I went to go consult with my uncle Rabbi Yoshua, he agreed. He said, "Yeah, the reed mats are valid for schach." Amar al chistav hudalis legedanfa. However, as we already noted earlier in the Gemara, that's assuming that they don't have that upturned edge. They don't have that receptacle. Otherwise, of course, it's going to be makabel tuma. Amar ulahani budisa divnei mechosa il mali kir shalohen mesakchin behu tani nami hachi mesakchin bevudia v'im yesh lohen kiri mesakchin. But again, the Gemara just basically makes the same point again, that you cannot use these reed mats if they have that upturned edge. They have that receptacle because it's a base kibul, but if they don't have that, then of course it's going to be okay. Hadron alach sukkah. Starting the second parak. The Mishnah says, Hayashin tachas amita besukkah lo yotze yedei chovasu. One who sleeps underneath a bed inside of a sukkah is not yotze. The assumption here is, as the Gemara is going to clarify, is that the bed itself is a mechitza that's separating between you and the actual sukkah. Then the Gemara is going to clarify that in a second. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, so now the Mishnah quotes from Rabbi Yehuda, Noagin hayinu shehayinu yeshenin tachas amita b'fnei azkenim v'lo amru lanu davar. So Rabbi Yehuda says, but hang on a second, we used to sleep underneath beds inside of a sukkah and no one ever said anything to us, implying that that's okay, that that's still considered part of the sukkah. So Amar Rabbi Shimon, Maisa v'tavi avdo shel Rabban Gamliel shel yashin tachas amita. There's an incident regarding Tavi, the servant of Rabban Gamliel, who used to sleep underneath a bed in a sukkah. V'amar lohen Rabban Gamliel l'zakenim re'isem tavi avdi shehu talmud chacham yodeh she'avadim turim in a sukkah l'fichach yashin hu tachas amita. So Rabban Gamliel pointed out to the other rabbis, said, look how intelligent my servant Tavi is, that he knows that avadim are pater from sukkah, because the sukkah, as we'll talk about later on in the parak, is a mitzvah saseh shasman grama. We know that avadim, right, then Evakanani is also pater from those kinds of mitzvahs, just like women are. So he's dafka sleeping under the bed in order to show that he's not being yotz in the mitzvah because he's not chayiv in the mitzvah in the first place. So obviously you can infer from the story that one who sleeps underneath a bed in a sukkah is obviously not actually sleeping in the sukkah proper and is not fulfilling the mitzvah. So the Gemara asks, v'halikas, yeah.
Rabbi, quick question.
Sure.
When we talked earlier about the case where there's a netting on top of a bed within a sukkah, okay, that is permitted.
Well, so that depends on the machlokas that we spoke about yesterday. That's a machlokas about whether we say shipui olim ka'olim, right? Whether the top, whether if you can't tell where the ceiling is, whether that's part of the same ohel or not. Yeah, the pashtus is that I'm saying that from the conclusion of yesterday's gemara, it sounds like we do assume that way lahalacha. So yeah, it could be that in the case of the netting, you might be yotzei, but here the issue is that you're underneath a bed and the bed is acting as a machita, right. it's dividing between you and the sukkah, right? So the gemara asks, v'halika asara, but hang on a second. Your bed is not 10 tefachim. How is it a mechitza? How is it dividing between you and the sukkah? So the Gemara says, no. In other words, the case is where the bed is at least 10 tefachim off the ground. If the bed was less than 10 tefachim off the ground, then obviously you would be yotzeh. Then the Gemara says, Tanan Hasam. We have a Mishnah in Meseches Ahalos. Echad chor shechara ruhu mayim oshratzim osha achalatu melachas v'chin midbach havana v'chin soar shel koros ma'ahil al hatuma. So the Mishnah in Ahalos tells us, let's say you have a rock that was eaten away by water or by insects or by some kind of salt, or you have a row of stones or a row of beams of wood, all of those types of things will act as an ohel over tumah. So if you have a source of tumah underneath, whether it's a dead body or something like that, that could be a source of tumah smeis, that will act as an ohel, and anything that's within that the space of that ohel will also become tumah. However, Rabbi Huda Omer kol ohel she'enu asui bi'idei adam eino ohel. Rabbi Huda disagrees. He says any ohel that's not man-made does not qualify as an ohel. So if the ohel was created because whatever water ate away at a rock, that's a natural thing. So that, according to Rabbi Huda, does not qualify as an ohel. My timer de Rabbi Huda. Why does Rabbi Huda assume that an ohel must be a man-made ohel? So the Gemara says, Yalif ohel ohel mi mishkan. He derives exer shav. Ksiv hacha zos ha-torah adam kiyomos ba-ohel. Uksiv hasam ba-yifros es ha-ohel al ha-mishkan. Ma'la halon bide adam ha-kan bide adam. Rabbi Huda says that just as in Parshas Chukas, by Tumas Meis, the Torah talks about an ohel, right, that ohel has to be man-made. So too in Parshas Pekudim, when the Torah talks about the mishkan, it says that that Moshe Rabbeinu spread the coverings over the tent of the Mishkan. So that obviously was man-made. V'rabbanan ol ol riba. So how do the Rabbanan respond? How do they deflect that? They say, if you look in Parshas Chukas, the Torah uses the word ohel several times throughout the Parsha of Tumas Meis. So the fact that the Torah uses that word ohel multiple times is a ribui. It's an inclusionary term, meaning to say that even naturally made ohelim, naturally made tents, also qualify as an ohel. So again, we're